I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Frank Caliendo joined us 1 hour ago. If you want to go back with the Odyssey app and take a listen to that, you can do it quite easily. You can also watch us 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Ceno's coming up at 6 o'clock. Do the Cowboys still have one of the best rosters in the league? We'll talk about that. It's time now for a proper round tripper brought to you by Uber Eats. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
Thank you very much. We have some new ballpark items that we need to address here that are pretty special, bordering on legendary across the sport. We'll get to that. A little chicken soup for the Rangers soul, though. And we have the 2025 schedule for the Rangers that got pumped out today as well. So I'll give you some news on that. Yeah, I'll have to go through and check
on
that one.
How many trips to Boston, Cincinnati, Tampa?
I got good news on the Boston front. But first,
open the season against them, don't you?
You do, yeah. At home. Four-game series start the year next year versus the Sox. It's going to be a good
Sox
time. But I saw from FanGraphs, MLB remaining strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And I was pretty excited to see that the Rangers here, for the rest of the season, would have the 23rd most difficult, 7th easiest schedule remaining in the sport.
I'll take it.
And it certainly helps the division that they're playing in that final month of September. And the NFL has done this now the last few years. You're playing like divisional games that last week or last couple of weeks of the season. So everybody's still staying alive for a much longer time because those divisional games matter so much. In the month of September, it's filled with just Rangers versus AL West opponents. So you feel good about staying alive. And then hopefully in September, you can really capitalize by taking advantage of your division. But right now, Rangers with the 7th easiest schedule remaining in baseball. And you have Houston has
that's
a pretty easy schedule as well.
Yeah, Houston. Yeah, I was going to ask.
They would be like the 10th easiest schedule or the 11th easiest schedule. Excuse me. So they have it pretty favorable the rest of the way. But Seattle has like the 14th most difficult schedule
there
remaining. So as you look to chase them down, but seeing the Rangers with an easier, now it doesn't start easy because you're about to have Baltimore coming to town and that's going to be a big series here, but then you get the White Sox and you're going to get a lot more easier games moving forward. But I thought that was something that should be encouraging as we're trying to find, you know, we're grasping at hope right now that we can turn this thing around for half number two.
Well, I think there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. I'm just going to put that added quiver, that added arrow in my quiver. As far as ammunition, I'm leaning optimistic about this baseball team. I was at the depths of pessimism, but the way that they played the last four series before the break, Young coming back, Mally coming in, Scherzer being vintage Scherzer. I just think there's so many good things going on with this baseball team, and your underperforming offense is not going to do that as we started to see them emerge from it. So I'm excited about that, gift from the baseball gods we've received, Brian. This is great.
Yeah, but got to make sure you take advantage of that. You can't do what you get against Colorado when they had won like 9 games and you go get swept. You know, you got to make sure these series against the White Sox and others that you know, the bottom dwellers right now, the teams that have pretty much packed it in, you've got to take advantage of that. You can't, you know, sit there and lose 2 or 3 of those teams.
For sure,
and
yeah.
They haven't played particularly well against bad baseball teams this year. So, but we'll see.
Yeah, you got to take care of business, but there's certainly reason for optimism. And I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was all about just getting to the All-Star break still intact, so to speak. And then you can gave you hope that your reinforcements can come in, and like Josh Young is going to be huge. But you mentioned earlier too, Dawson, like the ascent of Wyatt Langford right now and the heights that he can still be reaching over the course of this season. It seems like he's really starting to get going here.
Yeah, over took the him last 2 months to figure out big league pitching.
Yeah, absolutely. Get on the IL for a little bit. You reset things, and hopefully that's the same type of outcome for Evan Carter. whenever it is that you get him back, can he rekindle some of the stuff that he had last year, and maybe being away from actually playing and recovering here, could it help him the same way it just helped Langford? I don't know, but I'm hopeful.
He could do no wrong last year. I don't know if we'll ever see a run like Evan Carter had. You talk about gifts from the baseball gods, the guy that arrived and he was everything that you needed him to be, and the Astros didn't have any lefty relievers, so it was almost too good to be true what you got from Evan Carter. I'm hoping step one is that he comes back totally healthy, clean bill of health.
Yes.
You know, that having back trouble that early in a career could be an ominous sign.
My hope is Josh Jung. That's my hope. It's just to get the soreness out of the wrist and to be able to play pain-free. He could be such a big factor for you in the second half. If the numbers and his defensive ability, you know, he can carry you a little bit with his bat.
Absolutely.
I just want to see him get back, get comfortable, and get in one of those kinds of streaks where, you know, 2-for-4, you know, 3-for-4, you know, that kind of
bring some life to that 3-hole spot, man.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's bringing life, and then everybody else is kind of feeding off that a little bit. That's my big hope. Evan Carter, to me, with the back, I'm not
expecting. You're kind of out on that.
I'm not expecting the best there. That seems like, to me, more long term than it really does what you could get with Josh.
If you could pick one guy in the lineup to get back to being himself or whatever he was last year, who is that one guy for you? Because, I mean, Garcia is obviously a huge one. I would say Jonah Heim, man. Yeah. Could Jonah Heim get back to being and he's still a beast defensively as a catcher, for sure. But could he get back to being the bat that he was last year? That would be incredible.
My guy's Seager. And I'll tell you why. Because I think that, you know, if you find a way to get Josh Smith and others in the lineup, at the bottom of the lineup, and all of a sudden they're getting on base, and then you get Semien going, now you're getting Seager driving in runs. Now there's the 3-run homer. Now there's the 2-run double that he, you know, if you could get him to where bottom of the lineup is he coming back, they get on base, and now it's Semien, Seager, and he's hitting home runs for you. He's hitting doubles in the alley, scoring runs. That's the one I would love to have get going.
I hear you on that. I'd love to see vintage Seager hit like 340 in the second half with 20 homers, something like that. But I think Adolis Garcia's, you know, first 3 months this year has just been pathetic, you know, hitting 211. And to me, that's the explosive bat that has been struggling the most. And if you can get it hot, that you're looking at totally setting off the lineup.
And they've had times over the last month or so where they've rekindled that thing where, like, last year was so fun because you were just always on edge waiting for the explosion. Like, you know, at some point you'll get an inning where it's 4 runs, you know, or a ridiculous 5 runs in an inning. And they've had moments of that coming up to the All-Star break. And that's one of the things that you forget about how fun it was last year. Just the confidence in the lineup and just knowing no matter what, at some point in this game, things are going to get popping here. And it'll be a 3-run inning or whatever, and everybody gets going. And that's the type of baseball you want this team to get back going to. So certainly looking forward to half number two. And we will be broadcasting live from the Comerica backyard inside of Globe Life Field with Lucius Alexander on site tomorrow. So very much so looking forward to that. We have I have a throwback Thursday baseball stat of the day for you, which is David Dahl, who is on the Phillies. And he actually played against Bryce Harper whenever they were coming up in like the 12 and under leagues or whatever.
Las Vegas?
It was a particular tournament in Alabama.
No, I thought that Bryce Harper was a Las Vegas guy.
No, he is, along with, I think, Jock Peterson and Joey Gallo. They were like buddies back in the day.
Yes. Yeah, they had that school over there. That's pretty impressive. But there was a tournament in Alabama that Bryce Harper was playing in at 12, and David Dahl, who's now a teammate of his with the Phillies, was also in this tournament, and he was telling the story about how in one tournament, Bryce, at 12 years old, went 12-for-12 with 11 dongs.
Wow. Dude, you talk about some of the legendary things people can do in basketball and football in youth. I don't think I've ever heard something as crazy as that.
Insane, dude. And then I also have this for you, Throwback Thursday Baseball. Have you guys ever heard of George Fatty Hackett?
No.
This is, I love the Baseball History Nut Twitter account because they give you some good stuff. George Fatty Hackett. He was the world's heaviest baseball player.
Okay.
And that still stands today. This was in 1908. He played for Citizens baseball team in Pennsylvania.
Let me guess.
This dude's huge.
I mean, we've had some monsters, right? Prince and Cecil Fielder. You know, there's some big old sons of guns, first baseman.
Big Poppy.
I'm going to say 360 will get this thing done.
What do you got over there, Broadus? What's your bet? The heaviest baseball player, he was nicknamed, his name was George Hackett, but he was known as George Fatty Hackett.
I'm going to say George was 318.
George Fatty Hackett, the world's heaviest all-time baseball player, weighed in 450 pounds.
Geez. Oh, my goodness.
Gosh.
Do we have a height on him?
No, that's a good question. I need to get the height. I don't know what the height is, but seeing his sausage fingers wrapped around this baseball bat is unbelievable in this photo. And this poor guy, this is when they were wearing like the heavy wool uniforms. Guy must have just been just a sweaty disaster.
That's his walk-up music right there.
As he waddles up to the plate.
That's walk-up music.
I actually believe they turn him on his side and they rolled him out there to the box. His calves are probably the same size as an average adult male torso.
Okay, I got Speedball Hackett was a player.
Oh.
Speedball Hackett was a player in 1927 to 1928. I don't have any George. How are we spelling Hackett? H-A-C-K-E-T-T?
Yeah.
I heard Speedball Hackett could really kill it.
Yeah. I was looking for the job. I'm so glad you got it, bro. Blaine is failing me today.
That's weed. This photo, though, you saw some of the old Babe Ruth photos where they'd pull the pants up like old school style. My grandfather used to wear his pants above the belly button.
Yeah, that's this guy for sure.
Just bursting.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I'm not finding a height on this dude, but it's a great question.
I was looking at Baseball Reference, and there's no player.
A team photo has him not that much taller than the other dudes.
Yeah.
I'd say 6 foot, 450 pounds, something like that. Boy, you must have been a hell of a hitter because there's no way you're beating out any throw to first base.
No joke, dude. You're not bunting when you're up here. Okay, so now we got to address the new ballpark items. These are pretty incredible. Do you guys want the dessert or do you guys want the entree first?
I saw a dessert that looked like a spaghetti and meatballs.
Let's do that then.
Okay.
We go to Colorado, home of the Rockies. New ballpark food item.
Yeah.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay.
Except it's actually ice cream and donuts.
Yeah.
It's called the Polar Pasta. This is a vanilla ice cream. And they've made it in a way to where they have like noodled it. Okay. So it like the I don't know what they put
strands
it through.
Strands of ice cream.
Yes, like it's ice cream, but it's all noodled. When you just naked eye look at the picture, it looks like a pasta plate because then you got a bunch of chocolate donut. It almost looks like cake balls or something, but evidently they're donuts and they're chocolate and they're on there acting as meatballs. And then there looks like there's some maybe like a strawberry sort of syrup that's on top of it to look like the marinara sauce. But again, naked eye, this looks like just a spaghetti and meatballs deal. And they have somehow found a way to keep the integrity of the ice cream while noodling it and making it into a pasta.
That's surprising. I thought the donuts were going to be the noodles when you first said it. Maybe they tapped into that Dippin' Dot technology.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's a nice theory right there, because I don't know how just a generic ice cream can hold noodly like this.
Well, definitely not at the old ballpark, but is this one we can get at the new one?
This is going to be in Colorado with the Rockies.
Okay.
I kind of feel like you could get...
Hopefully the Rangers return serve on this.
You could get a custard machine with, soft serve, but put a meat die on it,
with the Play-Doh.
With the circle. Yeah,
yeah.
With the holes
like
in
if you're going to grind up your own beef or whatever into ground beef.
So, the soft serve with a connection with the die, the circular die, and then run the soft serve through the die to get your strands of ice cream.
I wonder if you can do the fork spin-around trick with these noodles. Will ice cream allow for that?
But you have to be careful because when you grind your own meat, you have to keep all the equipment super, super cold. I knew I was getting in trouble. But you had to keep everything frozen. So because when it gets warm, then the fats melt. And that's why
it just gets all mushy and stuff.
You get a bad grind that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is unique. I've never seen anything like it, but shout out to the Rockies for giving it a go. We'll see when you actually get some customers in there, we'll see the real photos of it. Mm-hmm. Because the staged photo they have looks pretty cool. Looks enticing. I'd be down for this one. And then you have the $25 Taste of the K taco available at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City with the Royals. Now this one looks pretty dang awesome, boys. I'm not going to lie to you. This is $25. It's a hot dog wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla.
Okay, I'm in.
Topped with Kansas City barbecue brisket.
Okay.
Also French fries, lettuce, onion, and a sriracha Cracker Jacks something or other, and 816 sauce.
So the quesadilla is around the dog, and then you have a separate bun, or is that the bun?
Yeah, no, that is the bun. So okay. The cheeseburger quesadilla is acting as the bun, and then you put the dog in there, and then you top it with the brisket and the fries, these Cracker Jack things, and then they have a special 816 barbecue sauce. So it
kind of got a bent like a taco shell.
Yeah, it's basically like a taco, you know, because you have to bun that thing in some way. But my gosh, what a beautiful concoction here.
Just don't put a crappy hot dog in there, you know what I'm saying? I need a premium dog.
Yeah, don't go dollar dog into this thing. This thing needs to be, I mean, gosh dang it, could you get a Hurtado Oaxaca dog slapped in there? Like, that's how you really level this thing up.
I'll take two.
But the cheeseburger quesadilla acting as the bun to the hot dog with brisket on top. My gosh, for $25, I'm hitting that thing. I might hit two or three of them.
By the way, Hurtado, our host for a Fan Bowl this year. It's coming up August 10th. Stay tuned for details on how to register. It's brought to you by Tolbert Garage Door Repair. Anything else in the tripper?
We're good.
He goes, Eric Chiafalo. It's brought to you by Uber Eats. I bet you're hungry after that last 5 minutes. Cowboys.
Shout out to dialysis.
Yeah, right? And Ozempic.
Shout out to George Fatty Hackett.
Cowboys lost depth, no doubt, but they are still well-stocked with some of the best players at their position in the league, right? That's coming up next in the Nation.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back, Nation. We're 35 minutes from the get right. Tonight's configuration, Fred and Blake. Nice job by Reggie out of Tula with the KMC Masterpiece all week long, hosting there in the quarterback chair. It is time now for the C-Note. Cowboys News of the Evening is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact the Frankels for your free consultation. It's 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Soda. That's state-of-the-art weight loss. Mike Leslie had a good tweet earlier, or a good post, that it's gone viral for Cowboys fans, and Shereen Williams reposted it. And what he said there from WFAA Mike Leslie, I've never seen Cowboys fans as apathetic as I've seen them this offseason. But 1 week from today, they hold their first practice of training camp. How excited are you to see this get underway? I asked Todd Archer, you know, about this earlier. I said, I'm excited to see how all these stories develop. But, you know, I think what it made me realize is thinking about it, it's not a lot with the actual football team other than the rookies. We got a Hail Mary with the rookies praying hands together that they can give this team the boost, along with Mozzie Smith. But at 877-881-1053, the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line open for you right now. How are you compared to, you know, previous seasons when it comes to excitement level on this football team, Brian?
I'm always excited to go to training camp. I'm always excited to see how they built the team. I'm always excited to evaluate the players. I completely understand the fan base, and I'm not here to blow smoke up their ass. You know, I'm going to do my best to try and paint what I see, the pictures, who's working well, who's not working well, and I'm going to leave it up to the fan base. But I do believe, I agree with Mike, and I think we've talked about this on our show a couple of different times. Dan, remember we texted, we asked, please, yes or no, you in or out, kind of a thing.
Oh, yes, I remember that. And, that was a good question.
And it was predominantly, we got a no, not interested. But, you know, for the guys and gals that you know, hey, if you want to follow along, here we are. We're going to go and do this. But I can understand the fan base not wanting to be involved and not, you know, and I guarantee I'm going to have a Twitter post where people are going to go, yeah, Brian, nobody cares. Nobody cares. It doesn't matter. It's going to get to the playoffs. It's going to fall apart.
The last time I feel like it being this low was probably 2016. 2014 was pretty low as well. They're coming off 3-8-8 years, and we didn't know how great that offensive line was going to come together that year, yeah. And boy, did it ever. But I think 2016 as well, as Romo's battling through those injuries, then the preseason injury, and everybody was just like, oh, my goodness. But I still do think this team has a decent chance of going 10-7, 11-6, especially with this division being down like it is. And I think, you know, making the playoffs for the last 15 years that I've been covering this football team and working at the Fan, that is a good year. Making the playoffs, giving yourself a chance, getting in there. I think there's fatigue around the idea of just making the playoffs and belief that they won't advance.
I think fans, I totally love what you're saying. I just think fans are like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Even if we have a 10-7, getting the playoffs, it's going to end badly. And well, then, hey. And you know, and that's, but that's how this fan base is built to, you know, that's how it's built right now. Because they've picked them to beat San Francisco. You know, they said they're going to beat Green Bay. Hell, Philadelphia fell apart the second half of the season. You got the second overall seed.
Yeah, they're done.
And you peed down your leg against the Green Bay Packers. You know, people are like, I know, I'm not investing in this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just not. I totally get it. I mean, we're going to cover the team and with great content. Trust me. But I'm not even going to answer you folks that are like, Broadus, it doesn't matter. Fine. If that's how you feel, just don't tweet at me.
I'll tell you why it matters no matter what. And if you feel like that, maybe you should be tuned in to hope they lose. Or,
yeah.
You know, I want to see if this quote-unquote apathy from the fan base is going to show up in the TV ratings. Because when that happens, I believe that would get the Jones boys' attention. You want a real front office? Stop watching.
Yeah, that would be the biggest kick in the junk for them for sure. My excitement hasn't waned at all. I'm fired up for training camp and I'm fired up for the season. There's still so much to, I mean, there's a lot of young guys that you're excited to see grow. And then you have the lame duck situation of it, Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott. Like, there's a lot of those questions, and like how this season plays out is determining a ton. How much change are you going to get at the end of this season? Yeah. So my hope is as low as it's ever been in terms of, can they really go do some damage here and go on a nice run? I don't think that is there, but my excitement for the season and just the general soap opera that is the Cowboys, I am absolutely just as
absolutely
excited
should be
as
excited,
always.
But I think where fan base is right now is that, everything you talked about, the potential of the quarterback leaving, the potential of the head coach not being here anymore, all these changes, it's not going to matter because the front office is not going to change. That's not going to change. And so all of a sudden the fan base can't, and we'll have the best draft coverage in the league. Trust me. We'll have the best draft coverage. We'll talk about it. We'll get you excited if they have a high pick. We'll start to talk about all the players, and we'll tell you how great they draft. And then somebody will go, it's still the same front office brought us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who they hire, you know, because they can't get that right. I mean, I'd have to say this. McCarthy has had some success. If you look overall, if you look around the league of hires, guys had some success. He just hadn't had playoff success.
That's why I feel like Jerry Jones will struggle to move on from him if they do have a winning season and even make the playoffs. And as a fan, I can't decide if I like that or not, because I don't think they would find a better head coach. Like, he's been their best hire other than Parcells since Jimmy left.
Well, you're exactly right. And so, you know, when they can move on from everything, but it's still Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, Will McClay. That's still the group that will be leading the charge, and folks will say, it's not going to change.
I just need somebody in that building to say, hey, the way that you manage the salary cap, caps are ceiling. You know, we can't get to 9 or 10 out of 10. The best we can possibly get like this, unless you have miracle drafts. We draft well, but, you know, and I don't know. You know, maybe it's Jerry and Steven. I know Steven is savvy around the cap. Yeah. He understands it. And that might be an edict coming from ownership. But I think they're willing to listen, you know. Hopefully they can manage to thread that needle. And the next time they have a good core that could go contend, they throw the appropriate amount of resources behind it. Because speaking of the roster right now, ESPN put together their top 10 players at each position. Okay, and the tease was the Cowboys lost depth, but do they still have, you know, a star-studded roster compared to the rest of the league? Teams with the most top 10 players. This is according to NFL executives, coaches, and scouts. The Niners have 9 of them. Mm-hmm. The Lions and Chiefs and Ravens have 7 of them. The Eagles, Texans, Browns, and Packers have 6 of them. That is your top 10 most talented rosters, at least by gauging it like that. Mm-hmm. You got to go to the next tier down. The Cowboys get 4. Micah, Zach, Lamb, Dak at 10. I'd say that's definitely fair. But what does this way of ranking rosters do for you, Chief? What are your takeaways here?
I mean, it definitely matters. You know, you want to have at least a handful of super studs, but then what's the drop off from those guys to the rest of your roster? And I think the rest of the roster is a huge question right now when it comes to the Cowboys. So you want to have those top, you know, those top dudes, but you also want to have your top dudes kind of on the ascent. Like Zach Martin is leveling out. He's still a dominant player, but it's not like he's getting better. I guess with Micah and CeeDee Lamb, you can hope for that. With Dak, it probably just sort of is where he is right now. But when you have other teams that you're talking about 7, 8, 9 dudes that are in the top 10 of their positions, I mean, my gosh, that's a huge difference. If you have 9 guys that are in the top like that, then you're like, okay, our roster across the board isn't quite as good, but we got basically one guy at half the positions on our team that are top 10 players at their position. You got 4, and then the drop-off is huge after that in my mind.
I wonder how they would do in like rankings 10 to 20, and should Tyler Smith be in there?
That was where I was thinking. Like, I was going to ask you guys the questions of the starters, what guys potentially could be in that top 10 list. And you talked about
Ferguson and Tyler Smith
and Diggs.
Well, how about Bland as a nickel? I mean, do you count that as a possibility?
If he's going to be able to play that position, yeah. You know, I think he's a star nickel, and I think he's a solid boundary.
Yeah. So to me, I kind of feel the same way. I look at this team, and I would say, you know, if the guys you wanted to add, Tyler Smith, Ferguson, by all means, let's go.
Kendrick's probably too old to, you know, be in consideration for this at linebacker. Did you see enough from Overshown last year in camp to think that he might be an emerging star?
I'll tell you what, my man was in for 6 plays and he had 3 tackles, and I was sitting there thinking, holy geez, they got him one here. You know? And this guy has improved. He's improved his physical size. He's bigger. He's added good weight. You know, how good is his confidence? I know that him and Britt Brown have worked extremely hard to get back. I don't expect him to be standing over by us when camp opens. I think the only pup guy you're going to see, Todd Archer, I totally agree with him. The only guy that's going to be on pup likely is Diggs, and everybody else is going to be practicing, and then away you go. But he's got that ability. If they play him as a will linebacker where they let him be free and run to the ball, he could have tremendous numbers.
Yeah, I need to see, like, by the end of the year, a compelling case that Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton could make it on that list in the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is the next thing that could, you know, get you excited. How about we go to CBSSports.com under the radar players that could shape the Cowboys season? They do go with Kendricks. Much like the Cowboys' other name on this list, Kendricks hopes to be a salve to Dallas' rush defense woes. Since 2020, Kendricks' 286 run tackles are 6th in the NFL. And while he may not be an all-pro that he once was, Kendricks should help a unit that ranked dead last in success rate against the run in 2023. Yeah. Can our guy still do that?
Yeah, and Mike Zimmer will tell you that Kendricks is not the same guy he was with the Minnesota Vikings, but he's still instinctive, he's still smart, he's physical when he has to be, and he tackles well. So, yeah, you know, Mike says, hey, I really like him as a player. I need to do my best to kind of get him, put him in position to make plays. But their linebacker room improved with the additions, and then with Overshown now being a part of that, This group will be pretty good on this defense.
Overshown's one of the most exciting dudes on the team for me, of like what he could be. You mentioned the way he flashed last year. It's just hard to put anything in terms of expectations, because coming off the ACL, as you mentioned, the confidence and all that stuff, like how long does it take for him to really get his feet under him? But I'm hoping by the end of the season, Overshown looks like the guy we thought he was going to be after the preseason, where it's like, oh my gosh, this dude is lights out.
Let's see Damone Clark too. Let's see. I don't think he's as instinctual as the other linebackers, but still there's a big body that could be physical, and when he knows what he's doing, he can make some plays.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing with Kendricks, having the quarterback on the field defensively. Right. At least he's going to get everybody lined up right. Clark, you don't have to think about too much. I'm telling you where to be. Just go be athletic and play.
Right. Mozzie Smith, the other name, minimal impact, obviously touted as a stout run defender. Dallas wasn't just better. They were much better against the run without him on the field last year. Brian, is this a lost cause with Mozzie Smith? Should I give up on it?
Not now. Don't give up now. But, you know, if you get to camp and all of a sudden you see him laid off the ball, being hooked, being reached, being one-on-one block, turn, you know, he's not playing square, I would have my concerns. I have my concerns going in right now, but he's done everything he can to get back on the field. But he has got to, he's got to take the coaching. He's got to get himself mentally right. And he got to go back to being that strong player he was at Michigan at the point of attack. But if his hand's on the ground when everybody else is moving, there are going to be problems with this defensive tackle position.
We take shots at the front office, but, I mean, they draft well, but it seems like every 8 years you just can't avoid a Bobby Carpenter or a Taco Charlton.
This is Will McClay. He stood up in a draft room and told, when they were making the determination, whether it was Bergeron, the guard, or Mozzie Smith, Will McClay put them both up on the line and said, hey, this is our guy. So he is very, very hopeful that that Mozzie Smith turns out to what he thinks he can be.
The guys at thecowboys.com answered, what's Mike McCarthy's biggest challenge for 2024? Mickey going with a complacency and assuming a 12-win season. Do you feel like there's roster complacency? I hope not.
No.
You talk about being in an absolute bubble.
Yeah.
If you did not hear the absolute frustration from the fan base and your legends, that was the big difference this year, is, you know, guys like Mike Irvin and Emmitt Smith stepping in there and sounding off on how frustrated they are. If the Cowboys are complacent, then I don't think there's anything that we can do about this broken culture.
Right.
Patrick Walker establishing a run game, I love to see that as well. We were talking about that last hour. If you want to go back, we had Frank Caliendo on at 5. We talked a lot about what the Cowboys need to do to have success at 5:20. But the Get Right is coming up next with Blake and Fred, and we're back to talk with those guys here next. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Well, thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time now to chat with the Get Right, see what they have cooking as Blake and Fred have stepped into the studio. Gentlemen, good
He's
evening.
In the building!
We're here. This is the first time we've cross-talked with you two since you laid out on me, and I had no idea who Fred was
because
he was hired on my vacation.
That is true.
That, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that, too, because so obviously you guys were on remote when we did our first crosstalk. And so there was like this awkward silence, or this, you know, when we first...
I don't think it was awkward. I thought it was great.
Well, it was... So people are like, oh, Gavin must not like Fred, because that was really awkward, that crosstalk just now. And so,
I mean, if they were looking at the webcam, I was like, what's going on?
But I thought that layout was some of Blake's best broadcasting ever.
We asked about if you should have been hired, and that's why we laid out.
He came back from the crunch
chewing
with
through
that.
His rice cake right now.
That's the back first to you, he Fred. Comes back with.
Okay, so let's talk about what's coming up on the show here this evening, gentlemen. Something to tease, something to timestamp for us.
What are we just got a clip of?
Look, we got a lot to get into. You guys got in a little bit of that T.O. hating on Tom Brady stuff. All right, so we're going to get in a little bit of that. I mean, come on, man. I mean, he's delusional at this stage of his career, stage of his life, right? I mean, did T.O. really think 48-year-old T.O. was going to
run
routes?
I believe he did.
Know he believed it, right?
Yeah. Should he have?
But that's the better question.
Yes.
And do we really think Tom Brady was that big of an a-hole because he didn't, in the middle of a season, get back to T.O.? Like, of all the... I mean, wasn't that the same time, too, when him and Giselle were going through their thing?
There's a lot going on.
So, you know, look, you just got bamboozled by AB. Oh, here, let's go to T.O. And you know, let's
solve
have
all
him usher him into the program, you know? So
yeah. I did see, though, that I was reminded 44-year-old T.O. ran a 4.340. Now, that might have been hand-timed. And maybe they, you know,
is that 34 yards?
Cook the number a little bit, but he can still fly.
That's when you do it at your college instead of the combine, so you can get a little better time. That was a little TO.
Oh, if I told you, if I love a player and he runs slow, I'll get him at 38 yards just to make sure I get that good time.
I don't think you're allowed to do that, Brian.
You are.
Yeah, you are. If you want to build one of the worst Cowboys eras and known to man,
bro, I had
him 38 times all year.
Yeah. When I ran a draft, go back and look at that. You know?
No, that's true. That's true. You did dominate
that. That's the only thing I can hang my hat on.
That's a good thing to hang your hat on.
Your NFL Network hat.
Yeah. The best thing you ever did as an NFL executive was helping the hated Eagles. That sounds like an L to me, Brian.
Helped them get Andy Reid. They didn't know who Andy Reid was.
Andy Reid?
Yeah, helped them.
Four straight NFC title games. Yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
So we should direct. It's all displaced anger this whole time I've been a Cowboys fan. I should have been looking at the guy to my left.
That's right. Yeah. Did he try to convince the Cowboys to steal Andy?
No, Andy, matter of fact, the thing about it was we were trying to hire Andy as an offensive coordinator because John Gruden left and Jeff Lurie, Joe Banner, those guys are like, hey, let's get Andy and the Green Bay Packers blocked him. And we had such a conversation about him. They coach blocked him. And the following year, Lurie and Banner, they're like, hey, we need to hire this guy. We think enough of him now. It's just making the head coach. And he was there 14 years.
14. Yeah, yeah. It was a great run.
Yeah. So it worked out all right there.
Well, Clark wouldn't let him leave the Philly airport.
Yeah.
So turned out okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of Clark, let me ask you, Caitlin Clark, you watched her last night?
Of course.
We did just because she was on. It was on while CA and I were doing the show.
Let's back that up. You said because she was on. So if she wasn't on, you wouldn't have found a way to change the channel?
Probably not.
Yeah.
That's wow. Right.
Probably. Where are we at on the stock?
Who the f*** is that guy?
I had to reevaluate it. Opening segment, I talked about the assists. I think she settled into a nice groove. Uh-huh. I'm playing around with the idea, could she win MVP?
Oh, okay.
At some point. Not this year.
Wilson's the favorite, right? Our girl from
Asia. So do you already have her stamped in, Gavin, as Rookie of the Year, Miss Clark?
I don't think I have her stamped in. I would have to do a full review of things, you know, but I think there's a compelling case for it with the history that she's made. Field goal percentage, I think you could look at and be like, well, I don't know, maybe she's just a volume shooter. Mm. But if you watch her play, the variety of skills, the entertainment factor.
And she's the only thing on that offense.
I was just going to say, I don't understand.
The other gal got hurt.
Yeah, I don't even know how she set the assist record because her teammates usually do not catch the ball and make it. So I'm like, she could have had 30.
A lot of bloopers. A lot of missed opportunities on assists
for
her.
That team is crazy. That means you were really...
They missed an opportunity last night to get a win because the Wings are...
They're not good.
They're in the bottom of the table, right?
Yeah. But we win the ones that matter. Yeah. At least one of the Dallas teams. Yeah.
Well, here's the
big marquee matchups.
Here's my thing about Caitlin Clark. What has she not done? Like, I mean, you know, we talk about expectations, and one of the things we love about LeBron is that he's exceeded all the lofty expectations. What has she not met, expectation-wise?
Every media person's opinion.
You know?
probably just the field goal percentage.
The turnovers were high.
The turnovers, yeah.
Turnovers have been high. But at the same time, too, though, I mean, everything else this woman's done basketball-wise, I mean, let's call it what it is.
I will say this. I'm not going to
slow down
like,
over there, Pease.
I don't know if I mean, I haven't seen every single game.
Reference.
But her college three-point shooting was much better than what she, percentage-wise, is what it's been. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why she bagged out of the three-point shooting for the All-Star
game. I
heard
you mention that earlier.
I think she said, no thanks, I don't want to go out there and brick a bunch of them.
What better way to get your stroke back, though?
I think she's holding it in for the NBA one. You know what Sabrina did last year with Steph? I think maybe she's... Marketing move, PR move. She's not doing it, and then she does the NBA All-Star.
That's the only thing that I think that you could look at her percentage, because when I watched her play LSU those times, I mean, she's knocking down shot after shot after shot, and it just doesn't look the same. Maybe they're just, you know, she gets wore out having to carry that team.
I think those are a lot of shooting off the dribble, and, you know, I'm not trying to excuse her for that, but I think just standing in a spot and shooting... I don't know. Maybe she wants a break.
She'll put him up from distance now. She ain't afraid to do that.
Can we get a good team around her? We've had to watch back-to-back years of her carry a team. Just like, she's the only offensive engine.
I think that's a good point. All righty. Well, here they come to get right. You have Blake and Fred tonight. Enjoy. Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control over there, 75 and Fitzhugh. Go say hi to him and the crew tomorrow.
This is an incredible moment for the Black family.
Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us 105.thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to Chia Follow. Woolchuck out tomorrow. Send him some love on social. He's on super dad duty. And thanks to Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2. Rangers return to action at 6:30. You're going home with the nation. At ease. Well, thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time now to chat with the Get Right, see what they have cooking as Blake and Fred have stepped into the studio. Gentlemen, good
He's
evening.
In the building!
We're here.
I think this is the first time we've cross-talked with you two since you laid out on me, and I had no idea who Fred was
because
he was hired on my vacation.
That is true.
That, and you know, it's funny you mentioned that, too, because so obviously you guys were on remote when we did our first crosstalk. And so there was like this awkward silence or this, you know, when we first.
I don't think it was awkward. I thought it was great.
Well, it was. So people are like, oh, Gavin must not like Fred. Because that was really awkward, that crosstalk just now. And so,
I mean, if they were looking at the webcam, I was like, what's going on? But I thought that layout was some of Blake's best broadcasting ever.
We asked about if you should have been hired, and that's why we laid out.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Brought he came back from the crunch
chewing through
with that.
His rice cake right now.
That's the back first thing he comes back with.
Okay, so let's talk about what's coming up on the show here this evening, gentlemen. Something to tease, something to timestamp for us.
What are we just got a clip of?
Look, we got a lot to get into. You guys got in a little bit of that T.O. hating on Tom Brady stuff. All right, so we're going to get in a little bit of that. I mean, come on, man. I mean, he's delusional at this stage of his career, stage of his life, right? I mean, did T.O. really think 48-year-old T.O. was going to
run routes?
I believe he did.
We know
he believed it, right?
Yeah. Should he have?
But that's the better question.
Yes.
And do we really think Tom Brady was that big of an a-hole because he didn't, in the middle of a season, get back to T.O.? Like, of all the I mean, wasn't that the same time, too, when him and Giselle were going through their thing?
A lot going on.
A lot going on.
Yeah. So, you know, look, you just got bamboozled by A.B. Oh, here, let's go to T.O. And you know, let's
solve
have
all
him usher him into the program, you know? So
I did see, though, that I was reminded 44-year-old T.O. ran a 4.3 40. Now, that might have been hand-timed. And maybe they, you know,
is that 34 yards?
Cook the number a little bit, but he can still fly.
That's when you do it at your college instead of the combine, so you can get a little better time. That was a little T.O.
Oh, if I told you, if I love a player and he runs slow, I'll get him at 38 yards just to make sure I get that good time.
I don't think you're allowed to do that, Brian.
You are.
Yeah, you are if you want to build one of the worst Cowboys eras and known to man.
Bro, I had
him 38 times all year.
Yeah. When I ran a draft, go back and look at that. You know?
No, that's true. That's true. You did dominate
that. That's the only thing I can hang my hat on.
That's a good thing to hang your hat on. Your NFL Network hat.
Yeah. The best thing you ever did as an NFL executive was helping the hated Eagles. That sounds like an L to me, Brian.
Helped them get Andy Reid. They didn't know who Andy Reid was.
Andy Reid?
Yeah, helped them.
Four straight NFC title games.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
So we should direct. It's all displaced anger this whole time. I've been a Cowboys fan. I should have been looking at the guy to my left.
That's right. Yeah. Did he try to convince the Cowboys to steal Andy?
No, Andy, matter of fact, the thing about it was we were trying to hire Andy as an offensive coordinator because John Gruden left and Jeff Lurie, Joe Banner, those guys are like, hey, let's get Andy and the Green Bay Packers blocked him. And we had such a conversation about him. They coach blocked him. And the following year, Lurie and Banner, like, they're like, hey, we need to hire this guy. We think enough of him now. Let's just make him the head coach. And he was there 14 years.
14.
Yeah. That was a great run.
Yeah. So it worked out all right there.
Well, Clark wouldn't let him leave the Philly airport.
Yeah.
So turned out okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of Clark, let me ask you, Caitlin Clark, you watched her last night?
Of course.
We did just because she was on. It was on while CA and I were doing the show.
Let's back that up. You said because she was on. So if she wasn't on, you wouldn't have found a way to change the channel?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably where are we at on the stock?
Who the f*** is that guy?
I had to reevaluate it. Opening segment, I talked about the assist. I think she settled into a nice groove. Uh-huh. I'm playing around with the idea, could she win MVP?
Oh, okay.
At some point. Not this year.
Wilson's the favorite, right? Or go from
Asia.
Asia Wilson.
So do you already have her stamped in, Gavin, as Rookie of the Year, Miss Clark?
I don't think I have her stamped in. I would have to do a full review of things, you know, but I think there's a compelling case for it with the history that she's made. Field goal percentage, I think you could look at and be like, well, I don't know, maybe she's just a volume shooter. Mm. But if you watch her play, the variety of skills, the entertainment factor.
And she's the only thing on that offense.
I was just going to say, I don't understand.
The other gal got hurt.
Yeah, I don't even know how she set the assist record because her teammates usually do not catch the ball or make it. So I'm like, she could have had 30.
A lot of bloopers. A lot of missed opportunities on assists for her.
19 with that team is crazy. That means you were really...
They missed an opportunity last night to get a win because the Wings are...
They're not good.
They're in the bottom of the table, right?
Yeah. But we win the ones that matter. Yeah. At least one of the Dallas teams. Yeah.
Well, here's the
big marquee matchups.
Here's my thing about Caitlin Clark. What has she not done? Like, I mean, you know, we talk about expectations, and one of the things we love about LeBron is that he's exceeded all the lofty expectations. What has she not met, expectation-wise?
Every media person's opinion.
You know?
probably just the field goal percentage.
The turnovers were high.
The turnovers, yeah.
Turnovers have been high. But at the same time, too, though, I mean, everything else this woman's done basketball-wise, I mean, let's call it what it is.
I will say this. I'm not going to
slow down
like,
over there, peas.
I don't know if I mean, I haven't seen every single game.
Reference.
But her college three-point shooting was much better than what she, percentage-wise, is what it's been. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why she bagged out of the three-point shooting for the All-Star game.
I heard you
game.
Mention that earlier.
I think she said, no thanks, I don't want to go out there and brick a bunch of them.
What better way to get your stroke back, though?
I think she's holding it in for the NBA one. You know what Sabrina did last year with Steph? I think maybe she's... Marketing move, PR move. She's not doing it, and then she does the NBA All-Star.
That's the only thing that I think that you could look at her percentage, because when I watched her play LSU those times, I mean, she's knocking down shot after shot after shot, and it just doesn't look the same. Maybe they're just, you know, she gets wore out having to carry that team.
I think those are a lot of shooting off the dribble, and, you know, I'm not trying to excuse her for that, but I think just standing in a spot and shooting... I don't know. Maybe she wants a break.
She'll put him up from distance now. She ain't afraid to do that.
Can we get a good team around her? We've had to watch back-to-back years of her carry a team. Just like,
yeah,
she's the only offensive engine.
I think that's a good point. Alrighty. Well, here they come to get right. You have Blake and Fred tonight. Enjoy. Thanks to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control over there, 75 and Fitzhugh. Go say hi to him and the crew tomorrow.
This is an incredible moment for the Black family.
Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us 105.thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to Chiafalo. We'll chuck out tomorrow. Send him some love on social. He's on super dad duty. And thanks to Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2. Rangers return to action at 6:30. You're going home with the nation. At ease.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.